Been a while since you heard that phrase there, Josiah, huh?
Yes.
Good to have you back, buddy.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. So I told you it'd be a little freestyle. That's because it's because I didn't plan well, but I have had something on my mind over the last several days. But before we get kicked off, Josiah, will you please pray us in?
I'd be honored to. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, again, for this opportunity to be exactly where you want us. Lord, to be your hands and your feet and your mouth, Lord, to the world. And I ask God that you would just fill us with your spirit, Lord, because without you, it is impossible to please you and it is impossible to even accomplish anything. And so, Lord, would you meet us afresh and anew, Lord, not only upon us three, us four, God, but upon our listeners, Lord, those who are going to take time out of their day just to hear what you have to say. God, would you speak directly to our hearts and change us, Lord, that we might be more like you? We give you the praise and the glory, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
All right. So, my brother, I want to. Okay, fine. Fine. I'll work on one for you. Jeez, you don't have to type it. He wants to have it in mind. I'll work on getting you a
Hey, you said it was freestyle, so I thought I'd just write
Yeah, but then you got to read. And I read slow. So anyway, so Mike wants a hat. I'll get you a hat. Okay. On the back, all that stuff. Yeah. And thanks for the shout out there at the Cardinals game. That was cool. It was a heck of an ending though, by the way, since I'm off topic already.
There we go. Freestyle. We're freestyling.
Man, listen, I do like the Packers. Okay. I grew up that way. I don't even know why I like them, but my dad liked them, so I like them. But what a crazy game. And the ending, dude, I
That was
imagine that
crazy.
stadium was just totally deflated. Like, how do you turn the wrong way or something on a touchdown pass? I mean, what in the world happened there? Or maybe, I don't know, the defender was like, oh, it's over there, and then caught it himself.
Miscommunication.
Miscommunication. It's what it always
Yeah.
comes down to, right?
Yeah. Oh, I got a lot of compliments on the hat, and my son's all, "Why are you wearing a red hat?" I was like, "It's thin line believers, bro." But it's red. I was like, "Well, that's the only one I have right now."
Do I need to get you a green one? Because Packers only come to town once every other year,
I
bro.
know, right?
I know. So I told him, I was like, "If I had a green one, I would have worn it." But
I
man,
feel that
every
too.
time
I want all the colors. Yeah.
right? No, isn't that the rainbow? I don't know, but
Hey, God's promise.
lots of compliments when I was standing in line getting treats for the kids, and I tell them, "Hey, just Google thin line believers and you can get one, order it." So
Exactly.
it was good. It was good.
Well, none of them ordered one, but we'll see. There's still time. So, not much time though, I don't think.
So, your brother.
So my brother, okay, so he as you guys
Circle
already know,
back.
as you got oh, don't say that.
Style.
You guys already know. Oh, poor Jen and her.
So
Oh
I don't want to
shit.
get you off on the rabbit trail
She's
again.
got the Rona. She's got
Poor
the Rona.
certificate. Yeah. Anyway, so he puts out the social media thing, right? And he's been getting all these invites to speak and at rallies and stuff like that. And I just don't do the rally thing. Okay. I don't need to be rallied. I'm already motivated. But it got me thinking, what should be talked about at those things? And I think if we're not talking about spiritual warfare, we're doing it wrong. And if we're not talking about it in the right context, we're also doing it wrong. So that reminded me of Joshua and the invasion of AI. we'll call it. So I'm going to read a little bit from Joshua here, and we'll get y'all's perspective, because it's always smarter than my own. So we're going to get into this. It's now Joshua, this is after Jericho had fallen, right? And what a weird way to battle Jericho. Maybe we can touch on that later, because I think it's appropriate to what I want to talk about here. But what after that battle, I'm in chapter 7 here, verse 2, starting there. Joshua 7:2. Now Joshua, and I'm in the NIV. You guys can just get over it. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. And the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes. He moaned and cried and pouted. And then I like verse 10 here. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing on your face? And that's how I imagine he said it. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. So that gets me thinking about where we're at today. We have these rallies, we have these calls to action, but are we doing the first thing first? Are we keeping the first thing first? Because at the beginning of this, I don't see any mention of prayer or seeking God's direction or instruction. And I think that that could have saved them a whole lot of lives, right? If maybe Joshua had sought God before they sent 3,000 men to Ai. And, you know, I would suspect that our loving God would have said, no, don't go up against them. Because he said that kind of stuff for David, right? He said, no, don't do that. I'm not with you. But instead, they tried to do it in their own power, just like a lot of people are trying to overcome these crazy times in our own power. You know, we use the legal means, we use, what is it, Delta and Southwest that are using... I don't know, standing up in their own power, which I think what they're doing is great to push back against, you know, these mandates and stuff like that. But at the same time, is that something that started by seeking the Lord? Is that a battle that began on our faces before God? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. It's your turn.
Oh, I thought you were reaching down to grab something.
I did. My little 3x5 fell out.
No. You know, some of these rallies and then things, I go, you know, I think one, we have to ask ourselves, it's not necessarily started by, let's say, from a biblical or Christian perspective, you know, and so the expectation that we're gonna call out conviction, you know. So that's where, and this is where I think somehow I'm gonna weasel pastors and church leaders into the idea. I go, you know, at a rally or whatever the topic, if it's, you know, the Rona and whatnot, could pastors come in or Christian leaders come in and stand up for righteousness. There's an argument there for that, I think. I think when, you know, my recollection, when I go back to 9/11, when 9/11 happened, even though George Bushy was, you know, he was okay president, but he believed in God and he asked the nation to pray. And then he invited Billy Graham to pray and preach at the cathedral, whatever that is in Washington. And I think there was a genuine, it was almost like, I mean, maybe Josiah can remember too, but there was almost like a remembrance of there's a period of mourning where our country, there was almost hope that there was going to be revival. You know, a lot of churches did grow. A lot of churches did get a lot of people come to their fellowship due to the acts of the terrorists that, you know, went into the building and whatnot. And there was a lot of people at church.
Yeah, and people were looking for answers and hope, yeah, and whatever they could glean from church, yeah.
And so now, but then we have, you know, I think, you know, Dan Bongino says it and some others, he calls him Pino, president name only. You know, but we do have a commander of this administration in name only that supposedly believes in God and the Catholic faith, but doesn't really have an active faith. You know, and so when you have a head honcho that doesn't believe in God, so the rally needs to, I guess, in such a way, happen in the hearts of the people, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was Jonathan Edwards who said, you know, I'm going to draw a circle around myself and set myself on fire and let the people come and watch me burn. You know, and I think if the people had that mentality, because let's face it, there's pastors in pulpits that are not standing up for, well, number one, they're not standing up for God's truth. Mm-hmm. You know, number two, if they're not standing up for number one, chances are they're not going to stand up for their rights either. You know, because they get a little threatened, they're like, oh, we're going to back off. You know, so like you mentioned Southwest. And I was like thinking, I bet you somebody that has billions and billions of dollars could say, I'll hire all the Southwest pilots and start my own airline. You know, like, what's his name? Sir Richard Branson, you know, Virgin Records. He's got Virgin Airlines. And his, from what I remember reading leadership books, he started Virgin Airlines on a napkin. You know, so I guess what I'm trying to say is there's not just a few, there's hundreds of people that are wanting to rally, but they need to know what to rally behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so, and I think in my opinion, there needs to be a voice like Pastor Jack Hibbs. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, his churches is in the thousands, you know, when he's getting hundreds and hundreds of text messages and he can't respond, that's a good sign. He's up front. So, but you need more than just one Jack Hibbs. You need multiple in every single state that's going to do that.
I know, like one in Florida, one in Arizona, you know?
Well, I think one big thing that you guys are hitting on is what are we getting behind? Right? I mean, I am against mandates, right? If you want to get the vaccine, great. If you don't want to get the vaccine, fine. That's your choice. Mm-hmm. And I think it should remain that. So I'm against the mandates on any level, right? Because we give away our rights and we're giving away a lot of ground.
So you're pro-choice. That's great.
Absolutely. But
In this case.
Right? I fear, though, that we're because the passage that you read, where they got themselves in trouble, they're coming off of an amazing battle that God has won, right? So they're coming off this great high of God has done great mighty things. The end of chapter 6, it says, and the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. So now we know that the enemies that are beyond Jericho are starting to hear what God is doing with the children of Israel, and this wrath is coming through, right? And so it was off this win and off this high that they go. And so they go into it. And Joshua, part of it's on his leadership, right? And not reining in his men to one, come back to focusing on God, because they touched the things that were to be destroyed from Jericho, right? So God had given them things to do, and his men did not follow God's command, hence why God's not with them right now, right? So they were disobedient, and I feel like, okay, yeah, we're you know, we want to stand up, we want to make these things right, and I feel like we're in some places joining forces with an unequally yoke, right? We're connecting ourselves with people, and we've got a front to stand on. That's fine. But I would encourage Christians, you know, to really take this time to do inventory on your heart, on yourself, right? Where do I stand with God in my life right now? What are those things that I have hidden, right? That I've taken, that God said, hey, you need to get rid of this. And I think we need to do that inventory in order to be able to stand in the battle that God's calling us to, and being ready for the battle. So, I mean, first responders, you know, from military on through, how are our marriages, right? We're married. Are we taking care of our wives? Are we taking care of our children? Or are we, you know, fighting this front, this battle, this standing up for our rights, and yet our life is being destroyed in our home? Well, that's not going to help, right? We're going to stand there destroyed on the battlefield. And I think for me, my encouragement to everyone listening is really, you know, let's take inventory on our own hearts, and let's make sure that we are in right standing with God, in honoring God in what we're doing, so that we are able to stand and fight.
Yeah, definitely. I do see an increasing motivation for people to stand up. It's kind of like going to war without training, you know? It's kind of like going to work as a first responder without having any training. It's, you know, when you start out a career, especially as a police officer, okay, I can't speak for any of the other ones because I don't know a darn thing about them. But, you know, as a police officer, you start out and, you know, I've done a handful of backgrounds, and the answers are always very similar. I want to help people. I want to, you know, do good things for my community. But if you just give them a badge and a gun and a fast car and you say, okay, go do good things for your community, it's going to be a mess with no training, right? Like, I don't have a foundation of, I don't know what the law says. Well, that's like not knowing your Bible and going to war spiritually. And that's kind of almost what these folks did with Joshua, right? Here they finish up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, everybody that was older than 20 had died off when, you know, the 40 years began. So here you've got this, majority of them are probably fairly young, and so maybe a lot of them don't remember what God did in Egypt, or they weren't alive for it. And so they go in and they have their first experience in Jericho. And here we are 20 years after 9/11. And, it's kind of a similar thing. Like, people don't know what that felt like, and people don't remember a call to prayer. And they just don't know what's going to work. And God doesn't always work the way we think he will. Right. I mean, look at Jericho. what an insane thing to think of. Hey guys, here's your first battle. What you're going to do is you're going to go to this city, and for 6 days, you're going to march around it once every day. And then on the seventh day, what, seven times, right? And then you're all going to shout, and look at that. God, just like you said, Josiah, you said it perfectly. God won the battle. And so I think maybe they look at their history, their very short history that they have. And now we look at our very short history that we have. Well, you know, we're America. We're winners. Okay. We have won all this time. We're used to winning. And so here this new battle comes up and we start rallying, and we just don't know where to go from there. We don't know what action to take when for Joshua, it started with his face on the ground before the commander of the army of the Lord, right? Before Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And that's where we need to get back to today. And
well, that's why I think where we need is, as we need to be praying for our leaders that are, like Mike mentioned, Jack Hibbs, and, you know, where we are, like, I consider us all leaders, right? We're all leading something. And it could be thousands and it could be one. I mean, if you're married and you know, it's just you and your wife and you have no kids, then you're leading your wife, right? How are you leading? And it's our job then to go on our knees and pray. It's our job to remind each other, hey, we need to seek the Lord in this, right? Yes, we need to stand up for our rights and we don't need to be walked over. I got that. But we also need to be listening to the Lord and his direction on how we ought to be doing that and where we ought to be doing that, right? Is it, you know, maybe some of us are called to go to these rallies and to be there. Awesome. But go in the power and the strength of the Lord and not in your own, right? In your own anger and in your own things. Like, that's not going to accomplish anything. And you know, I'm constantly going back to, like, the Lord keeps putting, like, Noah on my heart and Moses, right? I put the Bible verse today on our Facebook, our Thin Line Believers Facebook page. And it said, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. And so then, you know, I put on there, right? God's plan for your life is greater than the passing pleasures of sin. And yet I think in so many of our lives, we've had that opposite, right? Yeah, we're walking with the Lord, we're going to church, we're doing these things, but the pleasures of sin have crept in and they've become greater in our life than God himself. And I think we need to flip that on its head and put God number one, regardless of what it means, and trust him fully, right? So if I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight the mandate and I'm going to be like, look, I'm not going to comply, then not complying to what? Like, what's on the other side of that, right? And yeah, it's one thing to stand up and go all for it, but if we're not going to do something after that, I feel like we're missing something, right? Then we're just going to have a bunch of people with no jobs and evil reigns. And I know that God's got a plan and God will direct these people's steps, and it's, you know, we can't plan everything, but I would really like concentrate on, like, what is God calling me to do in this situation? Let me step back from the crowd, right? And not, because I wonder how many of those men that took Jericho and were like, oh, silver, and grabbed it and were like, no, they told us to destroy this. It needs to burn. But they were like, oh yeah, but we've had nothing. For 40 years, you know, our parents went through the wilderness and we have nothing for ourselves. I need this. And then all of a sudden we're now in a battle and we just got destroyed. And it's because we're not right with God. And I think we need to get that focus correct and really listen. Okay, by faith, we need to honor God. It is by faith that we please him. It's by faith that we make any move and step into honoring him and set up those things and be like, okay, God, if you're calling me to lay down this career that I feel like we all talk about, right? It's a calling. right? And first responders, you hear it nonstop. It's a calling. This is, we answer a call. And if that's the case, then what are we laying this calling down for? Like, where are we taking that calling to? You know, and I uprooted my family. We moved down to Florida. And people are like, why are you down in Florida? Well, my main heart and goal, right, is to pour into the people's lives here in Bradenton and link arms with West Church and pour into them. And yes, I'm still in law enforcement because God, that's what God opened the doors right now for, to provide for my family. What are your goals? Like, what's your thing? And then when you're at that roadblock, right? Because these guys were there. They came off this battle. Here we go. And now they're providing for themselves. We need to rely on God to be that provision. And we need to rely on God to link it. So does that mean then, hey, get more active in your church, then step up in leadership in your church, right? Then start discipling. Like, what are those things that God has been putting on your heart that you've been neglecting or you've been putting on the back burner because you have been comfortable? And we all have been there. I mean, we've all been comfortable. And that was, if you ask our wives, Mike and I, that's what started this, right? Mike and I were feeling like we were getting comfortable in our position as first responders. And God and the calling upon our lives weren't really taking a back seat, but they definitely weren't in the forefront. And Mike and I kept each other accountable. We're like, hey, we need to put God first. And boom, right? God's like, whoosh, here you go. And that God does that, and he provides, and he leads us. And I think that's where I would encourage everyone in this whole concept, right? Is let's take control of those emotions and take them to the Lord and ask the Lord to sift through them. And to put into our hands the very things that we can tangibly work at and move, and then move forward.
Oh, while you guys are talking, I'm reminded by that classic verse that we always use for the National Day of Prayer, but it's, you know, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And, you know, this Sunday I'm going to be teaching 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm kind of tag team with Pastor Ed before I start teaching the book of Acts. But, you know, Peter, if you think about it, he's, when he first met Jesus, is this, you know, boisterous guy that, you know, was very passionate about a lot of things. And obviously, having been a disciple, you gain some maturity, some life experience. And in 2 Peter, he says, giving all diligence to your faith, virtue, knowledge to temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity or love. Notice this in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1. It's a condition. For if these things be in you and abound, it means to grow, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And notice, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, in verse 10, the rather, brethren, give diligence. And you mentioned calling, Josiah. Make your calling and election sure.
Yeah.
For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You know? And, you know, I think a lot of times we have a calling to be a soldier. We have a calling to be a cop. We have a calling to be a firefighter. Definitely a calling to be a pastor, you know. But Peter's reminding us we have a calling unto salvation, right? We have a calling. Paul says in Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, you know, fulfill your ministry, do the work of an evangelist. So I think the church at large, globally, especially in America, stopped doing the work of evangelism. You know, they stopped teaching the word of God. You know, they want to be more like the world. Obviously, Calvary Chapel was a movement by Pastor Chuck Smith. And when the Jesus movement came out, that was completely different than what the world was offering, right? And contemporary Christian music was birthed out of Calvary Costa Mesa under Pastor Chuck Smith. Well, now the world is influenced in the church. You know, at a time when revival happened and there is all kinds of, you know, the Jesus people, the hippies were being saved. Well, it's like that movie Braveheart, right? Longshank, who said, they can't destroy them. Let's breed them out, right? I think the enemy has joined the church, has weakened the church in such a way. You have weak pastors, you have weak Christians, you know, that know Bible stories, but they don't know the Bible to defend their faith, you know? And, you know, because, you know, we have to admit, there are some great academies out there in every state that produces great firefighters and, you know, police officers and deputies. But we also know there are some departments that are out there just, like you said, Adam, here's a gun and a badge, go serve your people, you know? And, you know, we need to stand firm in defending our faith. You know, what's that? There's a scripture, you know, be wise as serpents, but innocent as doves. You know, we need to know how to respond in such a way the world sees us and says, man, you're very different. You know, something about you is different. And that's because it's Jesus in us, right? And as Peter was saying, hey, add to your virtue knowledge this, patience, loving kindness. If you do these things, it says you shall never fall. So, you know, the question really has to be asked is, are we falling because we're not doing these things? You know, and I think that's where, you know, just say you remind me of that, you know, when we met at, what was that place? The place in Eagle to have coffee.
Stout House.
You know, and really, what did we do? If my people will humble themselves and pray. And we prayed. We both agreed that there is a higher calling than being a cop or a firefighter. Yeah. You know, you were pastor missionary out in Germany, you know, and you were LAPD Chino PD. I was an LA City firefighter, you know, and it's almost like God, you know, God allows you to do those things so that you can provide for your family and all, but he was, okay, I need you to get back in line so I can use you, you know? And like you said, boom, God answered our prayer and orchestrated all kinds of stuff, you know? And so, but I think there's a lot of fear in a lot of believers, you know, like you were mentioning, they were supposed to destroy everything, but they didn't because they needed this. You know, and I'm like I'm trying to move into our new house, but the sellers left a disaster, you know, and like some things that they left behind, even though it's like new, I'm like, I'm tossing it. I don't need that remembrance that they, you know, and what's been neat about, you know, I wouldn't say remodeling the house, but just getting new carpet, we're going to get painted, but I've been patching up all the holes, you know, and God reminded me, this is what I do in your life on a daily basis. I'm patching up holes in your life so that it can be, you know, in a sense, remurled, you know, this Proverbs talks about having the word of God in the tablets of our hearts, you know? And so believers that are in badges, nurses, soldiers, and on, where are you in your walk with the Lord? You know, and something that I remember Pastor Chuck saying at a youth retreat, you know, I think it was in the Daniel, he was speaking out of Daniel. And I remember him saying, telling the youth kids, and it's like, you know, you go to a Calvary Chapel youth retreat, it's like a couple thousand. It's not like, you know, everybody wants to go to Calvary Costa Mesa thing, especially if Pastor Chuck's speaking. But I remember him saying, fall more in love with Jesus today than yesterday. Know more of the word of God right now than when you first woke up this morning. You know, and that stuck with me, you know, because if I do that, I'm doing what Peter is saying. I'm adding to virtue. I'm adding to knowledge. I'm adding to brotherly kindness and on and on. And am I going to fall and fail? Yeah, I'm human. But Peter's exhortation in his second letter is it's like his, you know, going away email, going away letter. He's like telling the believers, hey, look, you're going to fall. But if you do these things in your heart, you're never going to fall, because at the end of the day, you're going to go to heaven. If you die, you know, if you fall, you're going to be forgiven. But, you know, he's saying to abound, give diligence to these things so that you abound, you grow. You know, we've all worked with, whether it's in public service or private, we all work with people that are just, I'm accepting the average. You know, we're not going above and beyond what we should do. Jesus says, if someone strikes you, right, turn the other cheek. Someone asks you to go to a mile, go to the extra mile. And I think Christians have forgotten some of that value. You know, because supposedly this house that I bought were dedicated Christians. And they left this place a mess. And the other thing that was disappointing is he's supposedly a veteran. And now I'm like thinking, what?
Hey, they did that on purpose, man, because of the scripture that talks about the demon that left and, you know, it's cleaned up, come back and it's all cleaned up. They don't want you demons coming back.
Well, what a great
I'll give you that one.
And what a great illustration of exactly what we're talking about, right? Keeping things in order. I mean, we've got a group of individuals, a nation, mm-hmm. that for 40 years they saw their parents stuck in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness because of what? Disobedience. Mm-hmm. And because of disobedience, Moses wasn't able to enter the promised land. He got to see it, but he wasn't able to enter it. And here we have a generation that, because of obedience and following their leader Joshua and making things right with God, they enter into this promised land. God says, I'm going to go before you, and no enemy is going to stand against you. You're going to get this land. And yet here we are, they just battled Jericho, massive. There was no way that they would have been able to do it with the art of war that they decided to take on, right? That God told them to walk around, like Adam, you mentioned, you're going to walk around those buildings and you're going to blow the trumpets. Like, really? Like, that's how we're going to defeat this, right? They were probably being laughed at and ridiculed on a daily basis. From the men on the wall. And God said, do this. And they were obedient to it and they did it. And because of disobedience, they're now finding destruction in their life. They're now finding that the promises that God gave them and the victory that they were having in their lives, gone, right? That God wasn't listening to them anymore. And it was because of their disobedience. And I mean, and ultimately, like, we end up leaving a house dirty. We end up leaving things in a mess because we're disobedient, right? God's calling us, I think, as a people and as a nation that said, in God we trust, and we're putting God first, And for so many years, we've been so comfortable and so good that we've gotten lazy in being obedient to what God has called us to do. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, well, if we turn back and we pray and we make things right, oh, then it'll be fine and we'll get right back to where we were. No, God wants obedience from us. And that obedience does not mean that life's going to get better. It might get worse. The United States might continue to go to downward spiral, and it might be worse than it was, but that does not change the call to obedience. And I think that is what God's calling his church back to. It's saying, regardless of how much money you have in your bank account, regardless of where you are in your job, regardless of your promotions, regardless of this, I want obedience. And that's what he's calling us to. And I think he's bringing us to us that spot of saying, are you going to come back to being obedient to me?
Yeah, definitely. The book of Joshua actually starts out multiple times. He tells Joshua, don't be afraid. Stop being afraid, as if he knew, hey, Joshua is terrified. And I would be too, right? You just spent 40 years in the wilderness. The man Moses, who's this massive biblical figure, you just saw God say, okay, well, you struck the rock when I told you to speak to the rock. You're not going into the promised land. That's a huge amount of pressure on Joshua right now to lead all these probably millions of people into the promised land. And so of course he's terrified. And I think that we have spent too many years in the wilderness being fed, right? We've had it too easy, as they did. I mean, their shoes didn't wear out. They were fed every day. So have we, right? We've been fed. We've had the easy life. Our problems don't have to do with, you know, and I'm speaking in generalities. Okay. Obviously there are people that struggle, but even the poorest person in America is, you know, rich in world standards, right? We're richer than like 2% of, or within the top 2% of, you know, the world. But this really is a rally cry, but it's a different kind of rally cry. You know, it's not gathering people to take up arms and go to war. Well, what are we even going to fight against? Paul said our battle is not against flesh and blood. And we've lost sight of that. And you guys are right. The church is weak. And we're speaking to a lot of cops and first responders on here. We're spiritually weak. Malnourished, I would say. We are spiritually malnourished and we're afraid. And so my call to you today is just the same as it is to Joshua. Stop being afraid. You know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who wasn't a believer at the time. He's coming around, which I am so thankful for. If this is the kind of stuff we got to go through for people to get saved, bring it on, because I'm seeing people get saved right and left and it's awesome. But I asked him what he believed and he was hesitant. And I said, dude, it's not weird. I'm just asking what your beliefs are. This is just, I'm just curious. And he said, yeah, it is kind of awkward. You know, it is awkward because we don't have those conversations as Christians and it's crap. It's total crap that we are so afraid of doing what's right, of being concerned about the souls of our brothers and sisters, because God is not so much concerned about America as he's concerned about the American. He wants to save souls. He wants to save lives from eternal damnation. God is not so short-sighted that he wants to make sure that American flag still flies. Okay, God loves America. We were founded on biblical principles, but he loves the American more. And that's where we're at in today's day and age. We should not be having rallies on the streets under the flag and under a Trump name. We should be having rallies everywhere around this country under the cross. And that's where we need to return to. And that's what started this whole country to begin with, was a group of godly men got together and said, this is God's will on this country. And they knew it. They believed it. They were outspoken about it and they lived it. You know, we've unfortunately, we have sunk into this 2 Timothy 3 lifestyle here, and I'll read it to you. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Hi, social media. lovers of money, no question there. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Are you kidding me? Have you seen the, you know, the dads on duty thing that they had to do because all the fights in school? This is phenomenal. But that's what this is. This is disobedience. Ungrateful, unholy, without love. Oh, yeah. Is there any middle ground anymore? We're without love. You're either right or left anymore, it seems like. Unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited. And this is where I think this is the worst part right here. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. This is the church. This is the Christian right now. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. And it's harder and harder anymore to find people that aren't in the church who want to appear godly, but they deny its power. You know, and that's where our confidence should come from. And that's where the confidence to speak out, to share the gospel should come from, is knowing the power of God. And I think that we have a tendency to limit the power of God because of our lack of faith. We need to rally under the cross.
Amen. Yeah. And know his word, right? Not live off of 1 minute messages, but get back into reading God's word and build the foundation, right? There's nothing wrong with 1 minute messages, but my house is not going to stand firm on quick set cement. Right? It's not. I need to make sure that there's a firm foundation. That foundation we stand on is God's word. And if I don't know this, then how am I going to lead my wife? How am I going to lead in the department that I'm at? How am I going to lead at the rallies that I'm at? Right? And read from Genesis to Revelation. The Old Testament is needed to understand the New Testament. Don't discount it. There's no different God. God is one, and he's the same, and know and understand both his wrath and his judgments and his call to obedience, and understand his grace and mercy that allow us to do that.
Yeah, right? How am I supposed to enforce the law if I don't know the law?
Correct.
Right? How can I know my authority and use it wisely if I don't know my authority?
Correct. Amen.
Mike, I saw you reading.
Well, there's something that a buddy of mine sent me. Pastor Andrew Cochran of Calvary Chapel, Long Beach. Josiah knows him. He sent me this message from Warren Wiersbe. It says, the pulpit is not a place to play with trivia. The preacher has 30 minutes in which to help men broken hearts, change defeated lives, and save lost souls. He can never accomplish this demanding ministry by distributing homiletical tidbits. In this difficult days, we do not need clever pulpiteers who discuss the times. We need dedicated ambassadors who will preach the eternities. And, you know, I was looking up a scripture while you guys are talking about disobedience. And 1 Samuel chapter 15, it says, verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice, you know? And, you know, I think we've worked with a lot of cops and firefighters that are given the tools, but because they have so much fear inside of them, they don't know how to use those tools, you know? Like, seasoned cops, you go to the shooting range, you know, got your ears on, got your glasses on, you just do your thing, right? And if someone that has never shot a gun, and they're just, this is their first time, you could tell they're nervous, right? You know, but over a period of time of training, they can become sharp shooters. They can be very good at it, you know, especially women. You know, I heard that women are better or accurate in shooting. I don't know if that's true or not, but But you can train, let's say, anyone to shoot a gun. And once they gain that confidence, you pull that trigger and you hit that target. That's what we need to do as Christians. And we need to get in the Word of God, right? This is our daily training right here, right? And Josiah, you can show, if people are watching on YouTube, you can show them the shirt, Into the Storm. We got to go into that storm as believers, not run away, not cower, you know, but we need to stand firm, you know, and we need to fill ourselves with the Spirit of God and with the Word of God. That way we can give the hope that lies within us, to give an answer to any man that asks us, right? And the reason why I believe, you know, rallies or whatever, you know, the worldly rallies, they have a purpose and whatnot. But like you said, Adam, there's the rally that the Christian needs to do, and that's to stand behind the cross. You know, like Paul, when he was preaching in Athens, right? He preached about the unknown God and talked about everything else but the cross. So then in Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified," preaching the cross. In chapter 1, towards the end, what does he do? God takes the foolish things, the base things, to confine the wise and the mighty. And that's how God uses them. You know, God uses ordinary guys like you and I to deliver the message of grace. And so I think that's one of the only ways is for us to honor God in this country is to get back to the cross, you know, to get back on our knees, humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, you know. And like Peter was telling us, give diligence to these things, give diligence to these things, you know. And more and more, I'm not listening to these popular pastors. I'm just listening to almost dead dudes now. Because, you know, I was listening to J. Vernon McGee, the Bible bus, right? Like solid, solid teaching. And that's what, you know, that's what the church needs. Not, you know, if we live on a diet of, you know, cotton candy, yesterday was, you know, Halloween, you know, and I'm like, what a great business, a great event for dentists. You know, Anya's going to see, you know, a lot of kids going to eat a lot of candy. And, you know, over a period of time, you're going to get cavities and plaque. You know, if you don't give diligence to flossing and brushing your teeth, you know, same thing. Little habits that we have produces great, you know, results later on, you know. And if you develop a habit of reading and praying every single day, you're going to grow in the Lord. Amen. That scripture might not be necessarily for you today, but later on you're like, I read in the Bible something like this. And God reminds you, as John says, that he brings back to remembrance those things, you know. So whether you read in your patrol car or in the fire engine, or, you know, you're in a Humvee, get the Bible app and just read, you know, and ask the Lord to just pour the Word of God in you. That might not necessarily minister to you right away, but it might come to you later on in the day, a week or month later, you know. So that's that for me.
The minor prophet Malachi, in Malachi.
Yeah, the Sicilian.
Chapter 2, the end of verse 16 says, "Therefore, watch yourselves carefully and do not act treacherously." Right? He talks about, he's dealing with the leadership there. He's dealing with the last verses 10 through 16. He's dealing with, you know, guys within the children of Israel that were divorcing their wives just out of hate because they wanted the next best thing, right? And they weren't being obedient. And the prophet's coming to them and he's telling them twice or more, but twice in those two little passages, to be watching carefully themselves and not to act treacherously. And I think that's what God is calling us all as Christians to do in this day and age, to watch ourselves carefully and not act treacherously and come back to the heart of obedience in all areas of our lives to watch God win these battles that we're going into.
Amen. Into the storm.
Head on.
Adam.
Praise out, Mike.
Done. Lord, you tell us in the New Testament to walk circumspectly, Lord. And Lord, in these days, possibly the last days before you call us home, Lord, help us to walk in such a way that's pleasing to you, God. Help us, Lord, to have our hands on the plow, to be busy about the Lord's business, so that, Lord, we could be ones that when we do see you face to face and enter the kingdom of heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Lord, will you help us to put on the whole armor of God? That Lord, when we go through the attacks of the enemies, the fiery darts, Lord, will you allow us to put on the whole armor so that, Lord, we could be, as Paul was telling Timothy, good soldiers for you, God. And so, Lord, we pray those that are going to watch and listen to this, maybe now or later, a month from now, a year from now, Lord, may they be ministered to. Lord, may they be, Lord, encouraged. That if they've fallen in any way, that they can be picked up and be put back together by you, God. Lord, as Adam was sharing that scripture out of Joshua, God told Joshua to get up. And Lord, sometimes that's what we needed to do. We need to do, Lord, stop being an Eeyore and moaning and whining, Lord. We need to get up and we need to get going, Lord. And so, Father, we just ask that, Lord, you would just be with thin line believers, this podcast, those that wear the badge. Just ask that you would just continue to watch over them, be with their spouses, Lord. Be with the law enforcement in this country, the firefighters, Lord, the soldiers, the nurses, Lord. We just ask that you, especially those that are naming the name of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, you would give them strength, Lord God, especially in what's going on with all the mandates, Lord. Help them to stand strong. Help them to stand firm, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll see if we can get a cop church out too along with this. But anyway, thanks for listening. We'll keep bringing you the gospel because that's what we're called to do. And you can always find us on social media, Facebook and Instagram for now. And Twitter also, but I'm never on there because it's just a disgusting place. otherwise, Mike, I'll get you a hat with the proper placement of the wording. And cool, guys. All right. God bless y'all.
Peace out.